If you are at leisure, Mr. Darcy, I wonder if I might hear from you about your journey, she said quietly. Of course, he said, trying to quell his feelings of delight and triumph so that they would not reach his countenance. He led her over to an open sofa, and then proceeded to provide her with an account of his time in Gibraltar and his return on HMS Achille. Normally, speaking of visiting with Georgiana would have been a topic to sadden him, reminding him that his closest relation had moved so far away, leaving Pemberley even emptier than it had been, and depriving him of the company he'd come to enjoy more as a brother than a guardian. Elizabeth gazed at him with kind sympathy whenever he drifted into wistfulness, however, and such attentions from the woman he loved soon pushed any thoughts of loneliness from his mind. She showed herself fully engaged in all he spoke of, nodding at his descriptions and asking questions to glean further details. "Oh, I've entirely monopolised your time," she exclaimed, when it became clear that some of those who were not staying at the house were calling for their carriages. "You may monopolise my time forever, Elizabeth," he wanted to say, but did not. "Not at all, Mrs. Collins. Indeed, I thought to provide more of my time, if you wish it, to come and look at Longbourn's books, to offer my advice on the estate." He did not know if she would take this offer, or even if she thought of herself as needing advice, but he did wish to give his assistance, and this was the thing he was best suited to assisting her in. "Oh yes, because a woman cannot run an estate. Surely I must require your advice," she said furiously. A sharp stabbing pain in his chest. Were his chances already ruined? "Of course not. Someone so clever as you would have no difficulty in running an estate," he said. I know what it is to be given such a responsibility at a young age, and at least in my own case, I did not have anyone to turn to that I could ask for advice. I had always relied on my father for guidance, and when he was gone, I found I had his responsibilities and no longer the benefit of his counsel. I only meant that if you desired my advice, or simply wished for someone to talk over matters with, I would be pleased to give any assistance that I may. I apologise. I never meant to demean you." Although given in panic, Darcy's speech appeared to be effective, for her countenance softened before she said, "It is I who should apologise. Your offer was very kindly meant, and I am sorry I spoke so sharply to you. Mr. Althorp said something to me during dinner, and I suppose I'm still a little sensitive over it." He found himself relieved, both that they were returned to understanding each other, and that Althorp had already revealed his true self to her. "Pray do not worry yourself over it, Mrs. Collins. It cannot be easy to be in your position." She nodded. "I would like your advice, Mr. Darcy, if you're still willing to give it." "Of course." "Would tomorrow be convenient for you to call?" He replied that it was, now very well pleased that he'd offered his advice. And then she took her leave, to go and see to her carriages being called.